it's always fun to get back out there and see where we're at and find out who we are and what direction we need to go. And we've all had a great summer, so I'm just looking forward to getting started in a couple weeks.
Have a question, raise your hand, and we've got one right in the front. Mike, left side.
Hello, Coach Gundy. I'm Hayden Ferrar. I'm with OUInsider.com of 247 Sports. Obviously, you guys had a fantastic defense last season, which finished fifth overall in total defense. How has the transition gone from Jim Knowles to Derek Mason now? And how are the players responding to him? And with all the super seniors gone, who do you expect to step up for you for y'all's defense this season?
Well, Derek has been fantastic. It's been a smooth transition. He's a first-class person. He understands loyalty and hard work. He has a great relationship with the players. I became interested in him when I found out, obviously I knew about his history in being a head coach and being a coordinator, being in successful programs. And so the players have rallied around him, and the transition's been very smooth. Couldn't be more happier.
Mike, we'll go second row right in front here.
It's Oliver Richardson from Orange Bloods. Hey, Coach, you know, 16 straight winning seasons for you, 11-5, obviously in the bowl games. I think you've had maybe 7 double-digit wins. I'm just curious about the secret sauce, how you've been able to maintain that long-term success, what you've been able to do.
We don't really get out of our box much at Oklahoma State. We have a culture and a philosophy and a system we believe in. We believe in being tough. We believe in being mentally and physically tough across the board. We try to put our players in situations that game days are not anything like what they've been through in practice. I've been very fortunate to be around some great administrative support during my career. I've had just a number of young men, obviously, that have contributed a lot and given a lot to Oklahoma State University. And we have great people. Stillwater's a great place to be. It's a comfortable place to be. I'm in a situation now, and we have a new administration that's been aboard for a year. We have a new president. Dr. Shrum is fantastic. Chad Weiberg's the athletic director. Makes it even more comfortable than ever. I'm extremely excited about our new commissioner and what he brings to the table. So I think when you put all that together and you kind of understand who you are and what direction you need to go, it allows you to stay in one place a long time.
Coach, we'll go right side, about 4 rows back.
Hey, Mike. Jenny Carlson with the Oklahoman. You're back where you guys played in the Big 12 title game. It ended right over there. I'm wondering what the residual of the end of last year was for the team, the loss here, but the win in the bowl game. And then with the defense, what's the carryover of just the way they played last year, but now the questions of new coordinators, some different players that'll be out there, especially in the secondary?
So like any game, when the game clock expires and the other team has more points than us, it's always difficult. The stage gets bigger. You play in New Year's Day bowls, playing championship games. Anytime you're in that situation, you have one team that has the thrill of victory and the other team has disappointment. And it never goes away. Still to this day, at times when I wake up in the middle of the night, games such as a championship game will come across my mind, more so than even games where we had a lot of success for whatever reason. But our team is resilient, as you could see. They went in and beat a very good Notre Dame football team on the big stage, did it without our defensive coordinator. Our defensive coaches rallied together, put the pieces together at halftime, and played very well in the second half, and then obviously offensively, we turned out a bunch of points. We made plays at the end of the game. So our team's in great shape now. They're excited about the start, as I said earlier. And we've got seniors. We have mature players that understand the commitment and what it takes to be successful, and they're instilling those values in our younger players.
Coach, we'll go left side right there. Brian?
Hey, Mike. Brian Davis, Austin American Statesman. Now that you've had a full year to...
You have to raise the mic up a little bit.
You got me.
There you go.
Now that you've had a full year to think about it, what do folks in Stillwater think about Oklahoma's move to the SEC? How has that affected your recruiting with an SEC school trying to recruit the same players you want to go after? And what do you envision of the future of, of Bedlam going forward?
Well, the future in Bedlam is a year or two left. I mean, that's the future of Bedlam, based on somebody else's decision. Recruiting for us hasn't really changed a lot. You know, it's interesting with young people now. I'm not sure. You might be able to take a poll of the top 250, 300 recruits in the country and ask them if they know, for example, you could throw out what conference is Purdue in or what conference is Wake Forest in. And I would say there's about a 50% chance they might not even know what the conference is. Young people live in certain worlds today, and essentially they want to know what you as a university and athletic department, as a football team and a coach, can do for them. That's what they're interested in. So other than that, our recruiting hasn't really changed since the conference realignment.
All right, Coach, we'll go right side, then we'll go back there. You'll be second, you'll be first, then there.
Cole Thompson, FanNation.com. Coach, when you look at the potential, when you look at the potential of conference realignment and expansion toward the Big 12 and potentially super conferences, what makes the Big 12 a viable candidate to potentially be that next conference that adds more than just the 12 to potentially 16 and eventually maybe even 20 teams? Thank you.
I don't think there's any question as this moves forward that the Big 12 conference is in tremendous position. And I said this after we acquired the four teams that came in, and I don't need to go through the detail of each one of them, but if you look at the geographical television opportunities that they bring to the table, the number of viewers based on their location, the success they've had in football, they give us different time zones, they give us success and viewership, and ultimately that's what it comes down to. I mean, this is a power struggle for long-term television money. And the Big 12 is better off today than it was at this time last year. And as I said earlier, I think that we have fantastic leadership. We've got the right people in place. I'm convinced that they'll come up with a plan, and the Big 12 will be here to stay for a long time.
All right, Coach, we're going to go way in the back, left side.
Hey, Mike. John Hoover, All Sooners in the Sports Animal, Tulsa. You had the opportunity last year to talk about the Oklahoma State brand after you guys beat Notre Dame. I guess a lot of that brand, the opportunity to build that brand, comes from beating Oklahoma in the final game of the year. To follow up on Brian's question, do those two things go hand in hand? And how does Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 affect the Oklahoma State brand going forward? Thanks.
Oh, as I said earlier, I don't think that Oklahoma State has changed any with the alignment that started a year ago. And the fact that we have a strong brand, we have a successful winning tradition and a large number of people across the country that want to watch Oklahoma State football. And as we've all talked about and we all understand, that's the direction that college football is going. That's where the money is. And the moves that are being made are only made for the money, period. And fortunately, we have a long-term success at Oklahoma State in winning games in football and people wanting to watch us on TV. So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm convinced that the Big 12 will be here for a long time. Who will be in it? I'm not sure. But the brand and what we have at this point moving forward in Oklahoma State will be a very, very marketable opportunity in the future.
All right, Mike, we'll go right side here, four rows back.
Hey, Coach, it's Ben Hutchins with the Ocali. Now, I know you're not big into preseason polls, but here you are again, picked third after nearly winning the Big 12. I'm wondering, what are some specific things about this team that may lead you to believe OSU can win the league?
The last I heard was us third in the Big 12. I didn't hear the rest of it.
Yeah, sorry about that. What are some specific things about this team that may lead you to believe OSU can win the Big 12?
Specific things about this team? You said to make moves to move up into Big 12? Is that basically?
To win the Big 12.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Oh. When you stay healthy, as always, we have to get good quarterback play. Good quarterback play is we need to give him some protection, and we need to rush the ball successfully. Obviously, we had a fantastic year on defense last year. The majority of that was we were able to put pressure on quarterbacks. We got a lot of sacks with four-man rush, allowed us to play coverage, allowed us to play a little man in the back end. We lost two fantastic college football linebackers last year. We've got guys that have to replace them. We like where they're at. They just haven't played in big games. We don't know much about them. We have the same situation at corner. They've played some but hadn't been out there in big games. So special teams-wise, we got everybody back. We should be better than last year. We were good last year. We should be better than last year. We got everybody back. So we have a foundation. The team has to make a commitment. Coaches don't play in the games, the team does. So our responsibility is to guide them. Their responsibility is to come together as a group, create an identity. It needs to be important to them, and then go play. And that's the direction that we'll take starting in a couple weeks.
Okay, Mike, we'll go way to the right over here. And somebody get a mic to James back there. James, wave your hand. There you go.
Hey, Coach. Jay Swick, KIMB, CBS Sports Radio, Oklahoma City. I want to ask you about Spencer Sanders. He's a four-year starter now. What are your expectations for him at quarterback this year? How is he developing with some of your younger receivers?
Well, Spencer has been fantastic for us. And he has now become a magician in our offense. He knows it. He can run it fast. He understands. The middle toward the end of last year, he started to make really quality decisions in a short amount of time, which is very important in quarterback play, in our opinion. He's tough. He's humble. He doesn't worry about something that he might not have. There's times that we put him on the field and we were beat up in the offensive line. Never said a word about it. There's times that we put him out there and he was playing with true freshmen at wide receivers. Never said a word about it. His competitive nature, his toughness, allows him to be a really good player. And we want him to relax and enjoy this season and have fun, go out and play good football.
All right, all the way in the back, far as you can go, Coach, right down the middle. Okay. And then we'll go also over there. It should be on.
All right, good afternoon, Coach. Daryl Brown, KSWO, Channel 7 News in Lawton, Oklahoma. My question is about Spencer Sanders. How have you seen his development as a leader this spring?
Well, some of the things I mentioned earlier is what he does to lead our team, in that when things aren't always perfect, he competes. And he fights. We ask him to run, he runs. We ask him to play fast on offense, he plays fast on offense. And he has the ability to get players to rally around him because of the way that he plays. At times he can be vocal, and then at times he's not vocal. But he's a humble young man, he's extremely competitive, and he's tough. And that gives him a chance to have success on every Saturday.
All right, Coach, we'll go right in the middle here, waving a hand right there.
Hey, Coach, Ryan Swankowski, Texas Student Television. You guys are 11-1 in your past 12 home games dating back to 2020, and last season you were 7-0 at home. Can you just touch on the culture and the importance of the fans at Oklahoma State these past few seasons especially?
We have a fantastic fan base. We have our paddle people. And I've said this before, we have a football stadium that gives you the basketball, college basketball arena feel. The fans are right down on the field. We're currently in a $40 million renovation on our stadium and field turf and such. I wouldn't change where we're at for anything. There's just something special about playing on that field and in that stadium. And our players embrace it, our fans embrace it, and it continues to get better each year. The fans, the people that show up Friday mornings, Friday nights, Saturday mornings before the game, we have around 35,000 tailgaters now in Stillwater. We have a walk that our players walk through the tailgaters. And then, of course, on game day in the field. And so it's a special place. It's a perfect size and a perfect setting for college football.
All right, James, we're going to go all the way back to you, then we'll get to you, Barry.
James Hale, CBS Sports Radio, 105.3 HD1. Mike, you have Presley, who's in a tremendous skill player for you. You have another Presley coming. Talk about your skill guys on offense, because they're pretty exceptional coming into the year.
We've been fortunate at Oklahoma State for years to be able to find skill players that can make a play with the ball in their hands. You know, you mentioned Presley. He's been fantastic for us, made big plays for us. Younger brother Braylon's coming in. Hopefully at some point in their careers, the two guys returning the kickoff will both be Presleys. We'll see how all that falls, but we've got a number of wide receivers and running backs that should be on the field this year making plays. We were short wide receivers this year for a variety of reasons. This year and next year, we're moving in the direction we were in 4 or 5 years ago when we had about 6 or 7 guys that could play in a game at the wideout position that you're talking about. And during that time, 3 or 4 of those guys actually made NFL teams. And I think that we have that talent on this team now at the wide receiver position. Some of them are so young that we don't know yet, but they're long. They compete. They'll go after the ball, and they seem to be tough at this point. If they continue forward, then we'll have some guys that can make plays on the perimeter.
All right, Coach, we got time for 2 more questions. Okay. Barry?
Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. Mike, the day after the Fiesta Bowl, you said OSU football could become a blue blood. In the 6 months since then, has anything happened to make you change your outlook on whether it's easier, more difficult, whatever, primarily with the conference realignment?
Well, we all know, you know, conference realignment, you know, it's kind of almost the old Karen Carpenter, we've only just begun concept. I think it's just getting started, in my opinion. For Oklahoma State football, and then I would say me personally, with the administration, with Dr. Shrum and Chad Weiberg, our working relationship over the last 6 months, which was really their second 6 months in their new jobs, has been fantastic. So we're all pulling the same direction. And there's a lot of talks and vision and plans for Oklahoma State athletics and Oklahoma State football to continue to grow. And I think that's what we have to do. We're all aware of the direction that college sports is going, particularly football, and we can't sit around and watch other people grow. We have to grow it ourselves. The blue blood that I had mentioned was the direction that I would like it to be. At some day, I'm not going to be the coach at Oklahoma State. I'll just be going and watching games. And when that happens, I want Oklahoma State to be in that position. So it's going to take a lot of continued hard work. It's going to take commitment from administration at the top, Chad Weiberg, Coach Gundy, and everybody else involved, donor support. There's a lot of moving parts, but I am very comfortable, and I am 100% convinced that we have the right people in place to make it happen. It's not an easy process, but it can happen, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
All right, Mike. Over 40 years in the business, first time I ever heard a Karen Carpenter reference at a football press conference.
Well, I like the Carpenters, and I heard that song the other day, and the first thing I thought about was conference realignment.
Only you, Mike. We got our final question right down here, right about 4 rows back.
I think that she cut that record on the first take.
I think she did.
Yeah, that was a one take deal. Yeah.
You realize we're both old now.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff, though, yeah.
Mike, Scott Wright with the Oklahoman. A few months ago, you signed Rob Glass to what very well might be the biggest contract for a strength and conditioning coach in all of college football. What did it mean to get that done, and how big a part of some of the stuff you were talking about with financial commitments to the program does that mean?
So we all know football is an expensive game. Coaches that have success, they cost a lot of money. Success generates a lot of money. It's just, for lack of a better term, it's kind of an ongoing vicious cycle. But Rob Glass could very well be the single most important part of Oklahoma State football, and that's including the head coach. I'm not with the team 11 months out of the year. I don't have face-to-face interaction with the team. We currently have 127 young men in our off-season program, and then we'll have 140 when we start in August. Coach Glass has interaction with them pretty much face-to-face 11 months out of the year. As coaches, assistant coaches, coordinators, and head coaches, we don't. So he's been with us a long time, and our players understand the culture and, for lack of a better term, the Navy SEAL concept that he has in place. And it's tough to make it through it. It's really tough. But if you do, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So when Chad Weiberg and I were talking about the financial structure of the employees in my building, in our building, I mentioned to him that he is the most important person in our building. And Chad said, well, then we need to make him the highest paid strength coach in the country. I said, I think $1 million would do it. I don't know, maybe somebody else makes $1 million, I don't know. But the point being is we wanted to show him that we were appreciative of his commitment and the success we've had based on him. And then we wanted other people to know that we're committed to Oklahoma State football. And from a recruiting standpoint and a loyalty standpoint, we wanted everybody to know that we're all in. And that is another piece of the question that Barry asked about the Blue Blood program. So when you have people in place that have been loyal, that you know that are arguably the best in the business at what you do, you got to keep them. You got to reward them. I don't want Rob Glass to come to me and ask for a raise, which he never has. I want to be able to give something to him and reward him without him coming to me. So we, Chad and I, can show him we're appreciative of what you do. He's had opportunities to go a lot of places. I mean, he can make a couple phone calls and go be a strength coach just about anywhere he wants in the country at just about any level. So we had a chance to show him that we appreciated him, because he's the biggest factor in the success we've had since I've been a head coach, bar none. And so why shouldn't he be rewarded for it? And that's what took place in the conversation with Chad and I 7-8 months ago.